All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, December 30th of 2024, and looking ahead here, we have Monday Night Football between the Lions and the 49ers. We have some NBA action and I believe some NHL action as well, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, and then we have our build review show going live today at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. So last week, no show Wednesday, Thursday with the holiday. I took an extra day on Thursday, and this week there will only be no show on Wednesday, New Year's Day. We will have office hours Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I just want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up as to what the schedule looks like this week with the new year. But it is Monday, so we do have to announce the winners for our weekly max challenge. There is only 1 week left of the weekly max challenge, which is super, super cool. So got the max challenge up here. Going to go down to prizes. We've had over 200 people participating each and every week for all 18 weeks, which is super awesome. Got to announce our winners for the top finisher and then our last random entrant giveaway here. So our top finisher of the week, SVT Dexter, 26 plates, 223.86 points. Congratulations. You're going to be getting a custom SaberSim hoodie and then an entry into our end of the season 25K big game free roll. And for everybody else who participated, we will grab all these names. 226 people, drop them into our wheel of names. And then we are going to see who gets free entry into the week 18 last mini max of the challenge. So going to click shuffle a couple times, going to spin this, and we will see who our winner is. So it looks like it will be none other than, I see it, 12-pack abs. Congratulations. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to participate. Somebody can still win this upcoming week, and I hope someone does. So looking forward to seeing how the results all shift out there. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up, and then let's get some questions in the queue here. See one from RB1 Smitty in the YouTube chat already. We had some questions in the Discord as well. So let me get those queued up here, and we will get rocking and rolling. All right, all right, all right. Office hours. Let's see. Looks like questions started rolling in today, this morning, from G side. So I think that's the first one we haven't answered yet. Got Bill's Nut. Got J Sams Jr. Got Sammy. Got Jay Purdy. Boom. All right. Looks like that's our list of questions. I'm just going to work our way top down here. And we'll start with the Smitty one. Let's get SaberSim up. Cool beans. All right. First question. My understanding, a late swap on starter plan only swaps based on original ownership projections. So in theory, probably doesn't make much sense to utilize late swap unless on the sim plan. Okay. So the biggest thing to be aware of when you are on the starter subscription is significant projection changes. Okay. So the best place to get that information is going to be in the NFL lineup alert channel. If we're talking about NFL, right, or NBA lineup alert channel, basically the Discord channels where we are summarizing the information of Sims, right? So like if I go to Discord and I'll bring this up on screen. And we'll demo NBA from yesterday. This looks good. Okay, so for NBA lineup alert, right? you see when some of these sims finish, it's going to summarize like, hey, so-and-so's projection moved up or down, however many players. The threshold is like 1 point. So, you know, like Wells is 25.5 to 24.1. We show it because that's like more than one, right? 1.4. So this is the biggest information you need to be aware of when you're on the starter plan. Because although ownership isn't changing, if projections are changing, you want to take that information into account. So I would keep an eye on lineup alert channels. You know, if it's NFL and you're like, hey, should I late swap for the afternoon window? I'm on starter. You know, go in the NFL lineup alert channel. Go and check if there have been updates to projections. And if there have been, great, late swap. If there haven't been, you're probably fine staying with no adjustments. So that's the biggest thing to be aware of. All right, next question. This may be more of a risk tolerance question, but what do you do when tools are giving you bad plays and whenever you adjust it lower, it lowers ROI significantly. Example, yesterday, NFL tools were jamming Flacco, O'Connell in my lineups, and I tried to drop exposure, which hit ROI big time. Thoughts? This one, you know, comes up. I mean, obviously, you know, Joe Flacco ended up doing pretty good. I saw that. It was a weird game, right? He's like started off pretty bad, and then at least on DraftKings, he finished with a flame projection or like the little flame emoji, right? So that means like he, all things considered, ended up having like a pretty good game. I think DFS is super interesting, right? Like, sometimes you're going to end up on plays that like look bad. You know what I mean? Like who wants to play Joe Flacco and Drew Lock? You know what I mean? But like those two guys did like really, really good. Right. And like, that is the reason Drew Lock is, you know, 0.37% projected in like a contest that I played. Right. So, you know, the way I think about these things is imagine you're putting one entry in a Millie Maker, right? Okay. You're trying to take $20 and you're trying to turn it into a million, right? So like, what is the math on that? Like how many times is that? I think it's like 20 times like 50,000, I think. 20 times 50,000. Yeah, a million, right? So your like probability of winning, right, is like 1 in 50. The multiplication like of this outcome, right, is like 1 to 50,000, like 50,000 to 1. You know, I think the reason you get those plays is because SaberSim, by running our simulations, right, we're like, hey, you know, Drew Lock is projected for like 0.37% ownership or whatever he's projected for, right? He's actually good. Like, you know, he actually does good like in 2% of our sims, right? Like let's just make up a number. You know, he does well enough, often enough in the sims to make enough money over the large sample size of contest sims that we run where he ends up being positive ROI, right? So I think that's like kind of something that gets missed. People are like, want to play, you know, plays that do better more often. But what the sims show us is like, hey, this player only needs to do well enough, often enough, and it gets compared to like their ownership, right? Like what is their success rate versus their ownership? And some of these players, you know, O'Connell, Flacco, Drew Lock, can be good enough more than the field is anticipating, and that's all they really need to do to end up being positive ROI plays. So like, do they get there all the time? Like, no, obviously not, or else they would be higher owned. But they get there often enough and the field is neglecting them enough where, you know, it becomes kind of like an interesting game theory play. So I feel like if you were ever to consider playing plays that feel bad, you know, it should be in daily fantasy sports. It should be in, you know, these contests where, you know, first place is getting, you know, 40% of the prize pool. You know what I mean? Like such a massive percent to first. So, but, you know, I feel like I've been rambling a little bit, but like all things considered, you know, if the Sims are giving them to you, it's probably for a good reason, right? Now, getting back to your question, you know, what should I do if like my ROI is tanking when I do it? Well, there's a couple of different thought processes, right? Number one is, okay, I understand I'm sacrificing ROI, but I am not comfortable with these plays at these rates. So I am willing to sacrifice ROI in order to manage my risk. That is a fine approach to take. Number two is, okay, you know what? Maybe I move them from like 20% to 5. Maybe I should meet the builder in the middle and be like, okay, well, what if I play 15% of them? What if I play 10% of them, right? So maybe not being so aggressive with your adjustment. That's option number two. Or option number three is trust the sim and leave it, right? So those are like the three different ways that, you know, I would think about it. I was answering questions on Saturday, like, why is the builder giving me so much Joe Flacco and Michael Pittman? You know what I mean? And like, hey, like both those guys crushed, you know. Josh Downs didn't, unfortunately, but Pierce and Pittman had really good days. So I've seen that multiple times. You know, I remember like a season or two ago when SaberSim loved the Seattle-Detroit game and everyone was like, why is SaberSim giving me so much Geno Smith stacks? And then that game ended up scoring like 80 points and like SaberSim users did like really, really good that day. You know why? It's not a sexy play. You know, it's not Josh Allen, you know, against the Rams. It's not, you know, one of these like shootout type spots. Like it's ugly, but it happens, right? And those are the outcomes we're looking for in DFS. All right, next question. I would like your thoughts about the proper balance between sim ROI and player exposures. For example, in yesterday's NFL main slate, I had 99% exposure to Josh Downs, who busted, in 70-ish and 80-ish% exposure to two other players, even after trying to spread exposures with three uniques. In the past, I used to cap exposures to all players at between 20-30%. I know you recommend against this, though. It seems to me, in a sport like NFL, it would be risky and unnecessary to have more than 50% of any player. The problem is many times the Sims don't like this and it reduces my sim ROI. I know it's all about my personal risk tolerance. What do you like as the best approach to balancing exposures and sim ROI? Thanks. Okay, so kind of a similar question. I know Josh Downs busted, kind of sucked that, you know, he in particular didn't do so well along with the rest of the Colts, Taylor, Pittman, Pierce, etc. here. A lot of what I just said applies here, but in a more practical sense. You know, I kind of talked a little bit about like thoughts and stuff prior, but as far as like what you can do, right? Somebody was asking me like, hey, how do I guarantee like more diversification in my pool? One like kind of cool idea that I would recommend to guarantee pool diversification, right, is go into a build, right? And I'll just build for Sunday's main slate. And in your build, sort by projection, set a global max exposure, okay? So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to set a global max of, say, 40%, right? And let's say I'm building, you know, 20,000 lineups, right? I'm on elite here. Okay, well, when you do this, or even let's do 5,000. Take a little less time. What happened to my global max? 40, save. Okay, so I don't know how you want to determine this number. An interesting idea is to set the max to whatever the highest owned player is on the slate. You know, it's one way to think about it. What you're doing, right, is you're guaranteeing diversification by limiting how many lineups a player can be in. I don't even know if matching top owned is a good idea, maybe even like less, right? So like, what if I set this to like 25%? Oh, that's right. I didn't click save. Let's try 25. All right. So I'm going to set max exposure to 25 for every single player, right? And then I'm going to build this. So what I'm doing right now is I'm guaranteeing diversification in my pool. But what I'm going to do after the build is I'm going to turn it off. And by turning it off, I'm going to tell SaberSim, hey, I'm actually okay having more than 25% exposure to any one player. I just want to start from a more diverse starting point, right? And the build might end up taking a lot longer if you do it this way. So that's like a consideration. But what I would effectively do once the build completes is go in and just use like the reset icon in the max exposure column. Because I'm not saying I'm not willing to play a player at more than 25% exposure, but I want to guarantee that they're ultimately in less lineups, right? So if I have 5,000 multiply by 0.25, so no player is going to be in more than 1,250 lineups in my pool. Well, what if I only need, 150 lineups? I could still get 100% exposure to any one player in an extreme example, right? But at least I know that, you know, what if the builder likes downs? You know, what if he's in like 70% of my pool? Well, then if I do 5,000 times 0.7, well, then now he's in, 3,500 lineups, right? So it's just a lot more likely to get him anyways. But if the builder's like, hey, out of your 1,250, I really like, this percentage of them, then that's okay with me, right? So that's kind of the thinking here. And I'll just like show what that would look like. So pool of 5,000 is finishing up now. I'll just leave this sorting by saber score. It's like fine. And I want to switch back. So in case you guys missed it, we did release an update earlier, not very long ago. And a couple things with that is when there is a projection update, your refresh projection icon will turn green, letting you know like, hey, there's a new set of projections. And then number two is we will auto run the contest sim for you. So if you have an entry file, when the build finishes, we will try to auto run the contest sim so you don't have to click it manually. So just one change there. All right. So right now, no more than 25% exposure to any one player. Well, then now I'm going to go turn this off. And then I'm going to click this green apply button. Okay. Well, like, look, well now, I'm getting, more than 25 exposure to plenty of players, but I'm starting from a more diverse set. So it should actually be easier and maybe less impactful to increase min uniques. But if it ultimately, it's okay to sacrifice ROI to do risk management. So I just want to be clear that is totally an okay thing to do. But starting from a more diverse set might actually help you do that. So consider that. All right. Next question, are there any outside resources that SaberSim looks at when it comes to projected ownership for players? Projected ownership comes directly from our sims and our projections. So if you're looking to learn more about our ownership projections, I'd go to our help docs and then I would go to, I would just type in ownership. And then we have this video, where do the ownership projections come from? This will be a good video to watch and it will explain that. But basically we are looking at, player projection, player value, player salary. And then we are running what we call like an ownership build. And then the exposures from that build become the ownership projection. So we're not using outside sources for our ownership projections. All right. Next question. When doing rank, single entry versus MME, what is the best way to use min uniques, if any? Thanks. Okay, so one update that came out with this update, and I'll just show this in autofill. Are these two new columns over here? It's part of the update today. ignore min exposures, ignore max exposures. So these are going to be toggled on automatically for single entry contests. And the reason for that is because if you know you have a 10% max exposure to any player in a 20 max, you're like, hey, I want to get to, you know, 10% of, you know, whatever captain, right? Maybe you're bumping up Amon-Ra St. Brown. Well, what happens when you're in autofill and you're looking at a single entry is that we will make Amon-Ra be your captain in that contest because his minimum exposure is higher than zero. So then now all of your single entries will get lineups with him, which you might not want, right? So we have this new ability to ignore min and max exposures for certain contests. You can turn it on for contests bigger than one entry if you want. If you want to ignore them for three maxes or something like that, go for it, right? But they will be toggled on automatically for single entries. So I think that, you know, this will give you the ability to better apply exposures, better apply changes in your sets. I know your question was directly about min uniques. So for min uniques, right, in autofill, it's not going to matter just because, you know, you could have one min unique, you could have nine. It's not, there's not another lineup to compare it against, but you can still use the min uniques for all your three maxes, 20 max, 150 max, everything in between, right? So typically what I do is I just set it all at once, right? I'll just come in here, you know, bump it to three, whatever I end up using. And then if it's three for the uniques, it doesn't matter. I don't need to go in and change it or anything like that. So that's the best way, you know, is just managing them all together, in my opinion, right? I've talked about scaling them. So you can be like, hey, for my 150 maxes, I'm going to use two, but then my 20 maxes, I'm going to use three. And then for my three maxes, I'm going to use four, right? Because your lineup to pool ratio is increasing every time you do that. And I've personally done tests, right, where like I go into direct fill and like, okay, I'm going to go and look at just my 150 max in this dropdown. And then I'm going to find the right number of uniques for me and watching my projections, ROIs, leverages, et cetera. And then, okay, I'm going to go do my 20 maxes and then I'm going to go do my threes. And typically I found like a scaled method, like 2-3-4 or something like that, ends up working fine. 3-4-5, 4-5-6, whatever, however it ends up being. I just kind of go based off the first one, like wherever that first one falls, then I just domino effect them down. So those are my opinions there. All right. Next question. Can you explain the meaning of the percentiles under aggregate metrics? Yeah, absolutely. So when you go into either aggregate metrics or even sorting metrics, right? So you can say, I say average percentiles, right? So I see percentiles here, or I can go to the sorting metric dropdown and then I can see percentiles here. So briefly, there's a very good support video that explains these things, but I'll walk through them as well, but I want to call it this video. Player and lineup percentiles here. Okay, I'm going to drop it here in the chat. It's a good one to check out. But I'll explain. So there's two types of percentiles, player and lineup. Player percentiles are what you see here in the table, right? This is saying, this number, right, 99th, is saying, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs scores 52.9 points in 1% of our sims. Okay, so when I pull up his graph and it's saying his top 1% outcome is 52.9 points or higher. Okay, his 95th percent outcome is his fantasy point projection that he gets 5% of the time in our sims. Okay, it's all based off of our sims and this distribution. Okay, so these are player percentiles. Lineup percentiles describe a lineup as a whole. So basically we build the lineups, and then once the lineup is built, we go back into the sims and then we say, hey, how did this group of six players do across all of our sims? And then we get a graph for the lineup. This lineup has its own graph, and then we are describing the outcomes of those outcomes of the lineup as a whole. So we're saying 1% of the time this lineup scores this score, right? So we're saying 1% of the time, this lineup scores 177.1 points. If you hover over it, you can see the percentiles for all of them, right? 95th percentile, 85th, 75th, 50th, 24th, right? So that's what the lineup percentiles are describing. All right, next question. Can you explain sim ROI in layman's terms, like when reviewing a contest after the fact? Yeah, absolutely. So what sim ROI is, okay, is we take your lineups and we play out the So we sim the contests 100,000 times, okay? So we're playing a $1 single entry. That means that your lineup will have $100,000 in entry fees, okay? So then what we do, so that's it's effectively a fraction, right? That's the denominator. What we do is when we're playing out the sims, we're adding up all the money the lineup's making. Let's say the lineup ends up winning $110,000 over the 100,000 sims. So then we say, okay, we take the profit in the top, 110,000, divided by 100,000 on the bottom, which is the entry fees. And then whatever is returned is the sim ROI. So that'd be like a 10% sim ROI, right? Well, let's say your lineup only made, you know, $90,000, but it had 100,000 in entry fees. Well, now that's a negative sim ROI lineup, right? The lineup didn't win enough money over the sims to pay off the entry fees and be profitable, right? And then we also are taking into account rake in that formula as well. All right, next question from Brian. Lately during showdowns, if I filter out lineups with negative ROI, it's pretty much removing 95 to 99% of lineups with no changes. You're most likely going to see something like this in showdowns. I think it's like pretty normal to go from like 5,000 lineups down to like 500 lineups. So I wouldn't say that's an unexpected outcome in my opinion, right? So I think that, you know, showdowns, there's ultimately in showdown, you're basically looking for one lineup, right? You need the optimal to win in almost any contest. It just kind of comes down to like, how duplicated that lineup is going to be. And like, yeah, there's definitely, you know, smaller contests under the $1,000 range where like you probably don't need an optimal. But I think the most like common contests that people are playing, you probably do need an optimal to win or very close to it. So I think this is okay, you know, to go from 5,000 down to 500 and then take that pool of 500 and then try and figure out what set of lineups you want to play. I'd also be more willing to use rank fill than unique rank in showdown. That way, if you do find the optimal, you know, maybe you end up playing it in, you know, 320 maxes instead of just one, right? So consider those things, but I don't think that's too weird. All right, next question. How many sims are run for a particular slate to produce projections? When I'm creating lineups, how is SaberSim selecting my 500 lineups out of those simulations? Okay, good question. So we are simulating each game on the slate 25,000 times. That's my understanding currently. It used to be 5,000, but we're simulating the games 25,000 times, and that's how we generate the projections. Now, as far as how creating your lineups goes, right? So it's always going to depend on the sim diversity slider, okay? When sim diversity is zero, we are using the average scores for the players across all of our simulations. That is going to be the values in the my projection column. Okay, so the values in the my projection is the average that the players score across all of our sims. At sim diversity 10, we are taking one single game simulation from our database, plucking it out, playing it out, and then using the scores that the players produce in that sim to build your lineup. Okay. Everything in between is some group of sims, right? So like 9 could be 5 sims. 1 could be 500 sims, right? I don't know all the exact numbers, but basically what you need to know is the higher sim diversity, the less sims you're using. And then the lower sim diversity, the more sims you're using, with 0 being all the sims, with 10 being a single sim. And then everything in between is a scale. So it goes from small to large, from right to left. All right. So far, so good here. Caught up with our initial questions here. So jumping back over to the Office Hours channel. And looks like we're actually all caught up there as well. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'll be back in about 30 minutes here for our Build a Roof Show. Going to go get ready for that one here. Should be a fun one. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I will see you all soon. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.